The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. We had a great weekend and a great Sunday yesterday at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I was finishing a sermon series called When the Son of Man Comes from Matthew 24 and 25. And so Matthew 25 ends with the parable of the sheep and the goat judgment that Jesus, when he sits on his throne, as he sets up his kingdom, he takes all the Gentile nations and he judges them one by one, and he puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And so we talked about that, what that judgment is all about. It's not about if you do good works to people in need that you get to go to heaven or you get to enter the kingdom. It's about true faith, true saving faith. And how does that show up? It shows up in your works. As Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And so at the end, we gave the invitation, and a little boy, probably about 10 years old, he came up to me with his mom, and he was so sweet. And he just said, I said, "Are you making a decision?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "What's your decision?" He said, "I don't want to be a goat." And so he and I prayed together there at the altar, and then they to receive Christ, and then we took him back to the connection room. And so it was really cool. And then we had another little boy after that. He did the same thing, and I got to pray with him to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. So here's the good news. No one has to be a goat. We can all be the Lord's sheep as we turn from sin and self and selfishness and put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. Acts 4:12, "For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we have been saved, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Well, today we want to talk about the world of politics with Texas Senator Brian Hughes. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 12, "How blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." And as we have said on numerous times on this program, and as American Family Radio and American Family Association encourages, we need to get Christians involved in the political arena. Christians need to know what's going on, be like the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and what Israel should do. We need to know what's going on, and that's what American Family Radio does, is to equip and inform about the issues of the day and to see the world from a biblical perspective, and then to encourage people to get involved, run for the school board and get involved in local elections and know what's going on and vote for values, biblical values, vote for righteousness. So we want to welcome to the program Texas Senator Brian Hughes. He has been recognized as the most conservative Texas senator for three consecutive seasons, according to the Texas Tribune's political ranking system. So Brian, welcome to the program.
Brother, thank you for having me on, and thank you for telling us about that young boy to receive the Lord Jesus. That's the most important thing we're going to talk about today, I bet. Thank you for encouraging us with that, man.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Okay, so you have been involved in politics for a long time. As I did a little research, it said you were elected to the House in 2003. Is that right?
That's right. I was a young man, early 30s, when I was first elected to the Texas House.
Okay, so when Brian, when you were going to school, you're a Baylor grad, a UT Tyler grad, and then you went to Baylor Law School, were you thinking all that time, "I want to be involved in politics"?
No, thanks, brother. Yeah, I was raised by a godly grandmother and mother, and we didn't have much money, but I knew that I was loved, and in America, I could be anything I wanted to be. And so those things were inspiring to me. And so the idea of getting involved in the process was always sort of in the back of my mind. And so, yes, yeah, so when I went to law school, I thought I would probably run for office at some point down the road. But the Lord just opened up the opportunity earlier than I expected it. And so the Lord gave us peace. It was time for us to run, and we ran, and we won. But so, yes, sir, it was sort of in the back of my mind.
So, Brian, in the world of politics, when you look at the backgrounds of people, are most of the guys, most of the women, are they lawyers by training?
It's really interesting. We have that impression. And, you know, on the Democratic side, I'm not going to be partisan. I'll just tell you the answer. On the Democratic side, there tend to be more lawyers. On the Republican side, not as many. In fact, when I got to the Texas Senate in 2016, there were 19 Republicans, and only three of us had law degrees. Today, I think there are five of us with law degrees. So the voters are electing, on the Republican side, the voters are electing fewer lawyers. Now, legal training does help. You know, the lawyers wrote the Constitution, and so those tools can help us. But yes, you're right. It's not like it used to be where it's all lawyers.
Okay, so Brian, a frequent guest on the program is Bishop E.W. Jackson. He has a law degree from Harvard. And he said to me when he did his education, he said, we didn't even read the Constitution. He said, you would have thought that would be something in law school that you would do. At Baylor Law School, did they have you read the Constitution?
Brother, I'm proud to say they did. In fact, my constitutional law professor, David Gwynn, passed away a few years ago. We didn't just read it. We had to have it with us. If you didn't have your pocket constitution with you, you got in trouble. And he'd spot check to make sure you had it. So I'm pleased to say that at Baylor Law School, we did study the Constitution, the original document.
Okay, so what we see going on today with the left versus the right, from your perspective, trying to be nonpartisan, who's trying to enforce the Constitution?
Man, that's the bottom line, right? Who are the rule of law people? Who are for the constitutional rights? Because, as you know, that's not a partisan issue. That it cuts both ways, and it protects everyone. Mm-hmm. And if we really believe in the Constitution, then that's the side we're going to take for free speech, for free exercise of religion, right? For the right to assemble, for the right to petition the government for redress, the right to keep and bear arms, all those things. Those are guaranteed us. Those are, you know this, man, they are blood bought, not in a spiritual sense, not like we were talking about before, but humans died to secure those rights for us. And so, yes, sir, that's the conservative side. That's the side I've taken.
Well, we hear so much, Brian, about Trump is, you know, we had the No King rally protest around the country. Right. And, you know, Trump made this statement, if I'm a king, why do I have to keep going to Mike Johnson and the Senate to get things done? And I think anybody in a position of leadership, Governor Abbott, would be the same. I'd love to just be able to say by fiat, this is what we're doing. And thus says the governor, thus says the president, and you don't have to work through the House or the Senate, but it doesn't work that way.
Brother, you are so right. In fact, and you, of course, you know the Bible, and you're a studied man in literature and in history as well. You know, the sovereign, the king, right, the one who exercises that authority in America, that's the people, right? We are the king. The people rule. And so the president all the way down to the lowly state senator, we all work for the people, and you are so right about that. We can never forget that. When I talk to school groups, I always ask them who my boss is, and some will say Governor Abbott, some say President Trump, and I say, no, it's you. It's all of you. It's because in America, the government works for the people.
Brian, since you've been in the world of politics since 2003, so a long time, and you've been a senator since 2017, representing East Texas. And what would you say is the difference now, a seasoned Brian Hughes versus a wide-eyed 2003, Brian Hughes. Have you been jaded by politics, or how would you answer that?
Man, thank you for the encouragement. You know, we have this, we all have this nightmare, you know, where we send a conservative Christian into office, and then they kind of become part of the system, and they kind of lose their values. And we've certainly seen that happen. We like to have accountability from our family, from our church, and from our fellow believers in the legislature. But no, I'm encouraged. I'll tell you what. I first got involved because of the pro-life issue. That's what got me involved, hands-on, volunteering on campaigns, eventually running for office. And I was the pro-life whip in the Texas House. And so one thing that's changed is Texas has, by God's grace, has really moved the needle on pro-life. You know, the heartbeat law that I got to carry in 2021. And you remember that was the first pro-life law that the Supreme Court let stand in 50 years. And so that was so encouraging to us. And of course, I ended up, by God's grace, I met my wife through the heartbeat law. So it was especially important to me, a bigger deal than I knew it would be. So I'll say this, there's more involvement now. That's good. Social media has been a mixed blessing. You know, folks can get engaged. Social media can kind of bring out the worst in us sometimes. You know, sometimes folks get angry and aggressive maybe on there. But it is good that people are informed, people are involved. And I would say if you look at the laws in Texas, we have passed serious conservative free market pro-Constitution reforms over the last 20 years. So the government has gotten smaller. Jeff, would you believe that we have fewer state employees in Texas today than when I was elected back in 2003? We have fewer state employees and a tremendously larger population. So there's a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of reason for encouragement too.
Well, that's good. Brian, what do you say to people that wonder in our world today, you know, we can have somebody get up in front of the camera and they say, well, I'm for this, or this is what I stand for. These are my values. And then you find out that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. How does a voter know that this guy is genuine when he says that he's for this or against that and not just a politician?
Jeff, it's frustrating. We all see that. And, you know, there are even situations where, you know, maybe Christians get involved in politics. Maybe the voters care more about moral issues. And you'll see some politicians start talking about those things that didn't talk about them before. And again, maybe I hope they got saved. You know, I don't know what happened, but that does, obviously, people still come to Christ. But yes, there's a lot of that. And one of the advantages we have now is that our voting record, the voters have, one of the advantages that voters have is that voting records are all online and transparent now. So if I say one thing and do another, it's a lot harder to get away with that. And, you know, politicians, generally speaking, are like to please people. They like to be liked. And so it's tempting to whoever you're talking to tell them what they want to hear. There's a real temptation to do that. Of course, it doesn't honor the Lord. It's not the right thing to do. But that voting record is there to hold you accountable. And that's good.
Very good. Brian, we want to talk about abortion because I know that's a big issue for you, and you've stood up for what is right there. We have this thing called being an incrementalist versus being an abolitionist. And I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, and we had a meeting there with the Danbury Institute by my good friend Scott Coulter, who heads that up. And we had a discussion, a little debate on that. You know, there are those that say, hey, abortion is murder. We need to abolish it. So we don't vote for anything that comes short of that, versus those that say abortion is murder, but let's get the wins where we can get them. Where do you stand on that?
Jeff, man, that's the age old discussion, right? When I was brand new at this, my first Republican state convention in the year 2000, I was 1992. I was a volunteer at the state convention, and they were talking about this. They had the pro-life caucus, and part of us were saying we need to go for broke and outlaw abortion today. And then the other side said, well, let's have this legislative agenda. Let's have a 24-hour waiting period. Let's protect women. Let's put safeguards in place. Let's limit abortion. And at the time, I thought, man, those guys are all, they're just squishes. I don't want to settle for that stuff. Let's do it all. I finally realized that we need to do both, right? We need to, with everything in our fiber, we need to fight and work to stop abortion. In the meantime, let's save as many babies as we can. You know, Jeff, this came up during the heartbeat law back in 2021.
Brian, hold on one second. We're up against a hard break. We're talking to the most conservative senator in the Texas House, Brian Hughes. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to Texas Senator Brian Hughes. We're talking about the world of politics from an insider, somebody that has been in politics since 2003. And Brian Hughes was, he served in the House from 2003 to 2017. And then he's been in the Texas Senate since 2017, recognized as the most conservative Texas senator for three consecutive seasons. So, Brian, we were talking about abortion and how we have those that say we need to abolish abortion because it's murder. I would be in that camp. You're in that camp.
Yes,
but then others that say, but you can't. It's better to do that in increments because that is a winning strategy versus going for broke.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, this is an age-old discussion in the pro-life movement. And as recently as the heartbeat law in 2021, you'll recall in 2021, Roe versus Wade was alive and well, and abortion on demand was the law of the land with some limitations. And so in 2021, we were trying to pass the heartbeat law in Texas. And that's the law that said once that little heartbeat's detected, which is the universal sign of life, that heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. When that heartbeat's there, we're going to protect that little baby from abortion, that little baby growing inside her mother's womb. And so we passed that bill in the Texas Senate, Texas House. Folks told us it would never be upheld by the courts. But there was some testimony against that bill, not from the pro-abortion people, not from the Planned Parenthood people, but from some folks who didn't think it was enough. And their position was, you are regulating murder. You're still allowing this to go on, even though you're limiting it. And I understand the argument. And they had a philosophical problem with that. And my response to them was, so it sounds like you're saying, if we can't save all of them, we shouldn't save any of them. And of course, so I'm with you. I want to abolish abortion. And in the meantime, I also want to do everything I can to save little lives along the way. And so, and of course, as you know, that the term abortion abolition, it means abolish abortion. We know what that means. There are some dear folks in that movement who would also like to, who believe we should criminalize the mothers. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there are so many times those moms have been lied to, they've been misled many times, they've been coerced. Many times there's human trafficking involved. There's a lot of things involved. And so, but again, there are some dear folks, I'm sure some folks listening and folks that you and I like, who believe it's time to criminalize the mother. My position is there are two victims. There's the little baby and there's that mom. They're both being victimized by the abortion industry. It's happening with these abortion pills. They're killing little babies and they're killing and hurting moms. So we believe there are two victims. And so that's a debate that's goes on, and there have been bills filed around the country to criminalize the mothers. None of those have passed, of course. But again, that's a part of the discussion that you hear. But in Texas, our position is clear: that mom is a victim. We're going to protect her, and we're going to go after people making these abortion pills and after doctors who are violating the law. If they're doing elective abortions in Texas today, they are breaking the law, and they're at risk of going to jail, losing the medical license, and being fined for serious money. So those kind of abortions in Texas today, praise the Lord, are not happening. There's not abortions going on in abortion clinics like we saw before the heartbeat law and like we saw before Roe versus Wade. We still have those abortion pills being mailed in, and we passed a bill in the Texas Senate this year, didn't quite make it through the House, that's going to shut down those abortion pill manufacturers. Jeff, it's Big Pharma, and they're mailing these pills into Texas to these moms without any help from doctors, without any guidance. The law used to require for those abortion pills two in-person visits. Then the pills had to be taken in the office and then a follow-up. But now, because of the Biden administration, those pills are mailed directly to moms. They're alone. The first pill, that first abortion pill, starves the little baby, and the second pill causes the baby to be expelled from her mother's body. But if a mom hasn't seen a doctor, she may not know how far along her child is, and it may not work, and the mom's in danger. Or if the mom has an ectopic pregnancy, she's in danger. She could die from that. And right now, these pills are being mailed into Texas by Big Pharma, and we're going to hold them accountable. That's the next front in the pro-life war. In Texas, there are no elective abortions going on in abortion clinics, but those pills are being mailed into this state, and we are going to address that. We hope to get that done this year. We've got to get that done to protect moms and little babies.
Who are the pharmaceutical companies making those, Brian?
Believe it or not, one is called Danco. And Jeff, we did a little research on this company. They used to be called Popco, for population control. Some of your listeners will be old enough to remember RU486 back during the Clinton years, an early abortion pill. This company was formed for the purpose of distributing the abortion pill. How's that for corporate culture? Huh? I mean, that's why they exist. You know, there was a case before the U.S. Supreme Court not too long ago where they were trying to put some of these protections back in place. I mentioned to you that on these abortion pills, it used to be you had to have two in-person doctor visits, you had to have the abortion pills done in the office, and then you had to have a follow-up. And of course, that's just to protect the mom. They're still taking the life of a little baby, but even that's gone now. So there's litigation to put those protections back in place. And the lawyer for this abortion pill company was asked by the Supreme Court, what is your interest? Why are you here in this case? This case is about limitations on protections and safety measures on this abortion pill. Why are you here? Are you here because you'll sell less abortion pills if these protections are put in place? And the record says, the lawyer said, yes. So that's what we're talking about. Now, some of these pills have other uses and other applications, but this combination, these abortion pills, that's what they're for. And the primary company delivering them, that's what they do. They're in the abortion pill business.
Killing babies for a living. That's just sickening.
That's right, brother. That's
Brian, let me ask you something that's been in the news, and no doubt it's been probably over-dramatized, but this thing called Epic City in the Dallas Metroplex that they said Governor Abbott has helped these Muslims create this Muslim community with Sharia law and all these things that we hear about. Can you tell us what's really going on there?
I'd be glad to. So about 10 years ago, Texas passed the American law for American courts, and that says we don't do Sharia law in Texas. In Texas, we apply Texas law, U.S. law, and no one can be deprived of their constitutional rights based on Sharia law or anything else. So that's been a law for several years. But yes, this Epic City, this new development in Collin County, kind of popped up in earlier this year, got on the radar, and really, really scary. So they control who can buy in. And Jeff, you don't even own the property. You get to buy an interest in this entity if they approve you, if they like you, if you meet their criteria, and then maybe you get to build a house there. It's not clear whether you can sell it, but clearly from their marketing website that now they've taken down, their intent was to create some kind of an enclave for folks who shared their views, their religion. And again, there were all kinds of questions what was going to be going on there. And so House Bill 4211 was filed by Representative Candy Noble. She's a conservative state representative in Collin County, represents that area. She found out about this, and she filed a bill that puts a number of things in place. No Sharia law. It also says all the fair housing and all the discrimination laws still apply. You can't limit who can be there. And it also says you can't limit who someone can sell to. So that's, she passed that bill in the Texas House. I was honored to pick up that bill in the Senate, and we passed that, and Governor Abbott signed that bill. So that Epic City model is not going to work in Texas. So we've stopped that. But also, I mentioned 10 years ago, we passed American Law for American Courts. It said no Sharia law. We're going to go back and look at that and see if that needs to be strengthened. You and I before were talking about the Constitution, and you know, we have freedom of religion in America. We're glad. And Jeff, I know you and I know about this. We, as Christians, we're not afraid of an open forum where Muslims can present their beliefs and Buddhists can say what they believe and Hindus can say what they believe and you share the gospel. That doesn't scare me at all. We know who's going to win, that the truth is going to win, but the truth is going to win. But if we're talking about trying to implement Sharia law, trying to set up a community where Texas laws don't apply, no way. We will not allow that in Texas.
Brian, it was interesting. I saw an interview. I'm trying to think if it was Ben Shapiro, somebody, no, it was Dinesh D'Souza. He was interviewing a Muslim cleric, and the Muslim cleric said, you know, we always vote for the Democrat, the progressive, because we know that they don't pose a threat to us. We can you know, push through our agenda if those people get elected. He said, now, if a Republican, a conservative gets elected, he said, well, they have principle. And so those principles will thwart us because they know what we're doing, something to that effect. But I thought that was interesting. He said, you know, these people on the left, they go to their gay pride events and, you know, their drag queen story hours and all this stuff. And he says, we cheer them on. He said, you know, we despise homosexuality in Islam, and they kill homosexuals in Gaza and Iran, other places. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Americans need to open their eyes to what the Democratic Party has become.
Jeff, there's no question about that. Our father's Democratic Party. Now, I don't know about your dad's politics. I'm sure he was conservative, but I'm talking about our father's generation. There was a time in America not that long ago where both parties agreed on patriotism and on morals. There were differences on economic policy and labor and how to best get there. But this radical position we're seeing today, pushing men in girls' locker rooms, boys and girls' sports, radical agendas like you're describing, this is not the Democratic Party that so many Americans supported over the years. It's become a radical organization, certainly. Now, there are many folks who are still Democrats and vote Democrat who, you know, good folks, dear folks, love their country, and they differ with us. But you look at the leadership at the national level of that party, and it has really gone off the rails.
So, Brian, if you're a conservative and you run as a Democrat, that's almost like an oxymoron. You have to kind of toe the party line, do you not, if you're going to run as a Democrat?
Jeff, that's right. You know, a generation ago, all across the South, we had conservative Democrats. In fact, you had Democrats in the South that were more conservative than Republicans in the Northeast. And that's 40, 50 years ago. But what's happened in the decade since? Well, those conservative Democrats, they've either become Republicans or they have been beaten by liberal Democrats in their primary. Yet today it would be so hard. I can't imagine a conservative with the kind of values you're talking about, a pro-life, free market, pro-constitution conservative running as a Democrat. That would be really, really difficult today. And again, you probably wouldn't make it through the primary, right? Because the primary is so polarized, you get beaten in the primary by a liberal Democrat. I don't see how you could be elected as a Democrat with those conservative views that you and I are talking about. 40 years ago, even 20 years ago, you could. I don't think that happens today. I think the lines are pretty clear now.
Brian, as a state senator, how connected are the state representatives and senators to the national scene? Everybody's talking about Trump's big, beautiful bill. Do you guys get involved in that, knowing what is in it and things like that?
We do. You know, we get a lot of calls. As a member of the Texas Senate, I represent about 1 million people. So my district is bigger than a U.S. congressional district. They have about 750 or 800,000 people. We have about 1 million in the Texas Senate. So we get a lot. Sometimes we get calls from folks about national issues, and they get calls about state issues. So there's some we get some cross pollinization, I guess you'd say, like that. But yes, those big issues of the day, like inflation, like the cost of housing, Texas is having to tackle those as well. And we passed a number of bills this session that just to get that American dream of home ownership back within reach of families. You've seen what's happening, man. It's not just California. Houses, the idea of having a home is getting out of reach for a lot of Texans. So we passed a number of bills to bring those opportunities back. And also national security. We think of that as a federal issue, and it is. But the Communist Chinese Party in particular is targeting state governments and even local governments more and more. And so Texas passed a half a dozen bills this legislative session to deal with hostile foreign adversaries. Senate Bill 17 to prevent the Chinese Communist Party from buying land in Texas. Also to prevent what's called transnational repression, where these foreign governments, primarily the Chinese Communist Party, they send agents to Texas and they go after Chinese students. They go after Chinese dissidents to keep them under their thumb. And of course, they also threaten and blackmail and harm their families back home. They're also stealing our intellectual property at our universities. Professors and students are being forced to do this. So yes, there's a long list of things like that that we are doing at the state level, as well as what the feds are doing. And as far as the big, beautiful bill, a lot of that's about cutting spending. And Jeff, we are blessed in Texas. Our Constitution requires us to balance that budget every time. So we cannot borrow money to balance that budget. We have to balance the budget, which means we don't deficit spend. In Washington, man, it's almost a joke now. It's almost a punchline. We've just grown up accepting these deficits. But at some point, we're going to have to pay the bill. So yes, sir, we're glad to see they're taking it seriously and doing something about the spending.
Very good. We're talking to Texas Senator Brian Hughes. Our program topic is the world of politics with Texas Senator Brian Hughes, and we're learning about what's going on in that world and how he fits in and how conservatives can make such a difference. And Texas Senator Brian Hughes is making a difference, and he loves the Lord, and he's not afraid to let that be known. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the world of politics with Texas Senator Brian Hughes. Brian has been recognized as the most conservative Texas senator for the past three consecutive seasons. He's been in the in politics in Texas since 2003. Brian, you had a long career as a House of Representatives and now a Texas senator. Which one do you like better?
Jeff, thanks. They're both really neat opportunities. In the Texas House, there's 150 members, and when you're on the floor of the House, it's alive. It's loud. There's a roar. There's always a lot going on. Over in the Texas Senate, there are 31 of us. We represent about 1 million people each, and the procedures on the floor are much quieter, much more organized, and so sometimes I miss the rough and tumble of the floor of the House. But I will say, in the Texas Senate, Jeff, I've had wonderful opportunities to really get things done. I've been honored to the lieutenant governor has allowed me to carry big bills like the heartbeat law, like the ban on critical race theory, like the election integrity bill in 21 and other election integrity bills since then. So the Texas Senate has given me an opportunity to work on some really important things pro-life matters are why I got involved in politics. Again, getting care of the heartbeat law and other pro-life laws have been a big deal for me. So I've been more effective in the Senate. I'll say that. I don't know if I'm very good at either one, but I've gotten more done in the Senate than I did in the House. So I'm thankful for both.
Brian, if you had to give Donald Trump a letter grade, A to F, since he came into office in January 20th, what would you give him?
Brother, these policies are A. These policies are A. You know, President Trump, my goodness, who'd have thought that it would go the way it went, getting in the first time unexpectedly and then getting out and coming back. And you look at the cabinet he's put together, and you look at people, again, people of faith and solid conservative values that he's got on his team. No, he's getting it done, and it's not in a way that any of us would have expected, but he's getting it done. We're excited. We're very encouraged.
Brian, how do you stay as a Christian in politics? As we talked about, you know, a lot of times guys get, you know, they get in that cesspool, and then they turn into a politician, and they lose their values. Politics is an area of compromise, and you know, we're commanded in Scripture not to compromise. How do you navigate those waters?
Well, brother, it's a challenge just like in any job. I'm a sinner. I'm a guilty, rotten sinner, and I'm not deserving of God's grace. But that's why it's grace. And so, the Lord Jesus paid the price for my sins, the awful price, and I received Him as my Savior, and He saved me. And so I'm born again. So I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know this, and mm-hmm. I have a relationship with the Lord. But that daily walk that's up to me, right? If I'm going to be in the Word, if I'm going to pray, if I'm going to be around other believers that hold me accountable in a local church and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as we're encouraged to do. And so those things are important. I can't say that I've got it all figured out, and I don't always get it right. But yeah. I'll tell you what we've tried to do, brother. We've asked the Lord for wisdom and for courage and for humility. Wisdom to know what's right. And sometimes, you know, but it's hard to do it. You need courage. And then what happens? You take a big bowl stand and you get really puffed up, and then that's time for a fall, right? So that humility, that's in short supply in the world and certainly in politics. And I don't always have it, but I ask the Lord to keep me humble and to keep me focused on those things. I don't always get it right, and I'm no example, but mm-hmm. God's been good to us. God's been good to us.
Well, Brian, when we think about the word integrity, you know, that's being solid. I always use the illustration, you can have a piece of furniture that's solid wood. Mattress Mack used to always talk about solid wood furniture at Gallery Furniture versus veneer over particle board, which looks like solid wood, but it's not. And if you put the screws to it, you find out this is just mush. Mm-hmm. In politics, who have you found to be people that are really men, women of integrity?
Oh, it's so encouraging. Jeff, I'll tell you this, and again, you know, as you know, it's not required that one be a Christian or to be in politics, but as believers, we're encouraged when we run into other believers. When I got to the Texas House those years ago, I was so encouraged to find a lot of people who really love the Lord, really walking with the Lord. Now, I'm not the salvation police. I don't say who's going to heaven and who's not, but the Bible does. And based on their walk, based on their testimony, a number of people in the House and the Senate and government in the Capitol community that really, really love the Lord. And there's some great ministries like Capitol Commission. Our minister, Scott Wall in Texas, is a full-time minister to the Capitol community. And he doesn't do politics. He preaches the Word. And he does verse-by-verse expositional Bible study like you do. He's a Bible man. He loves the Lord, loves the Word. And we have people come to those Bible studies. And many times, we're away from home, we're away from our families, we're away from our church home, our church families, and we need that accountability, right? We need to be under the sound of the Word and that accountability. And so I've been pleasantly surprised to find a number of people, solid people, who really walk with the Lord, really love the Lord. And it's been an encouragement. It really has.
Well, I was encouraged. You know, Dan Patrick was a well-known person in Houston when he had KSEV KSEV, I think was the name of it, 700 yes. radio. I listened to that, you know, and he was into sports. And then I guess he became a Christian after that. I don't know his yes. testimony, but you're good friends with Dan?
Oh, he's got a neat testimony. He really does. And, you know, he wrote that book. It's called The Second Most Important Book You'll Ever Read, a personal challenge to read the Bible, to encourage people to get to the Word. You know, he's worked in Christian film, and he takes opportunities to lift up the Lord, to point people to the truth. And so it's been a great encouragement. You know, a lot of people talk about leadership. Sometimes it's kind of a cliche, but leadership means sticking your head up, right? It means taking risks. It means being first. And he doesn't mind doing that. And you get shot. You get shot in the front and the back when you do that sometimes. But he takes bold stands. And yes, he's a believer. He's a Bible man. He likes to say, I'm a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican third. And that's the order. That's the order. And he that's where he is. And we're very thankful, very excited about that.
For those that may not know, Brian, the lieutenant governor, as opposed to the governor, what's the difference in power there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because Texas is unique in this. In most states, the lieutenant governor, like the vice president of the United States, it's a big job, and technically you preside over the Senate, but that just means you show up if there's a tie, right? If there's mm-hmm. a tie, you got to come vote to break the tie. Otherwise, it's more of a ceremonial job. But in Texas, the lieutenant governor has tremendous power. As president of the Senate, the lieutenant governor doesn't just cast tie-breaking votes. He appoints every senator to what committees they're going to be on. He decides who the chairman's going to be of each committee. He decides what bills will go to each committee, and he decides what bills come to the floor and what bills get voted on. So there's a lot of power in that office of lieutenant governor. Unusual. Texas may be the only state with that powerful a lieutenant governor. I'm told it is. I know there are not many, if there are any. And so during the legislative session, lieutenant governor can really set the agenda. And so you can have a lieutenant governor like Dan Patrick that uses that power to move conservative legislation, conservative policy that the people of Texas want, that they voted for, that they've called for. And it really makes a difference. You could have a lieutenant governor who's not taking an active role, or you could have one who's pushing the other way. But in Texas, we have Dan Patrick in that office. And since he's taken that office, elected in 2014, as he's learned his way around and learned the Constitution and the laws even better, he's even more able to do that now. And that's why you see the Texas Senate really delivering conservative wins, really, for the last several legislative sessions. And it sounds kind of like the cliche, but it's because of leadership. And so it's a very big office. And of course, he's second in line succession to the governor. And so he is governor when the governor's out of state, or if the governor, my goodness, we had Rick Perry, who was a great governor. He was lieutenant governor. And when George Bush was elected president, he became governor that way. So that mm-hmm. that still happens as well. But it's a real powerful office in Texas. You're right. Most folks are not aware of that.
Yeah. Let me ask you about a former colleague, Jasmine Crockett, who's in the news a lot. You know, to a guy like me, she's just an embarrassment, just like AOC is an embarrassment. You think to yourself, how in the world did you get elected? But I've seen her in interviews from years previous. She didn't talk like that. She is a lawyer, and she worked in Texarkana for a number of years. Wasn't well thought of. I've talked to other lawyers in Texarkana that said she didn't have a good reputation. Did you know her when she was in the Texas House?
It's so funny you mentioned her being in Texarkana, because I'd read that she'd practiced in Texarkana. I didn't know her in Texarkana, but I did know her in the Texas House. Not well. I was already over in the Senate, so we met once or twice, but we haven't really had much personal interaction. And so, like you, I see her on TV and I see her social media. And yeah, it seems like the role she's taking in Congress is pretty aggressive, and that's not the way I do it. And so she's not someone I've ever really gotten to know. As you say, she's impressive. I mean, she's sharp and she's talented, But yeah, that style is just not one that I. That's not the way I like to do it.
No, I mean, I think that there obviously, in my opinion, there needs to be some decorum with politics. This isn't a bar fight. You said you liked it. They'd mix it up a little bit on the House, but you still need to show some respect. And we've kind of lost that in politics today. The people are very disrespectful to Donald Trump. And, it's just kind of, he dishes it right back. So it goes both ways. But how are things conducted with Governor Abbott? Is there respect and decorum there in the Texas Senate?
I'm glad you asked that, Jeff, because one of the things we've seen over the last few years really is, yeah, just the, my goodness, just the, in politics nationally, right? My goodness, the language and yeah. Just the, again, lack of respect. And again, respect for each other as humans who were created in God's image, right? Mm-hmm. But we can disagree and we can vigorously debate and we can tear down their ideas, without treating people that way. So yes, it's really troubling. That's one thing I'm encouraged about in Texas. In Texas, we still have a level of respect and decorum. And I don't know about you. I do know about you because I know how you operate. But you can get a whole lot more done that way. And you know, if I really want to convince someone that our arguments are correct, or if I want to convince the one I'm debating with, or if I want to convince the people who are listening, the way to do that is to reason, right? And mm-hmm. to put the arguments out there. It's not. It's not what's becoming so popular, which is, as you say, it's disrespectful. And again, the issues get lost in that discussion. It just becomes personal. So in Texas, we still do have respect and decorum. You know, we mix it up and we have an exchange of ideas and we vote and the majority rules, but we don't hate each other and we don't vilify each other in the process. And I'm glad for that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it seems like Donald Trump, we just have a couple minutes left, Brian, but it seems like Donald Trump has really pushed the other side into these 80-20 issues where they're against him for anything. If he says breathing air is good, they're against it. But that really puts them in a position that's unwinnable. It's untenable if you're on the 20 side of the 80-20 issues, men and women sports and things like that. Are there things like that in the Texas side where they're pushed in a position where that's not going to win?
Jeff, you're exactly right. And men and women sports is a great example of that. You know, two sessions ago, we banned that. We said no men, no boys and girls sports in high school and below. Then we did it for college. And Jeff, we just passed a bill. I was honored to carry a bill this time that says if you're a health insurance company and you're going to pay someone to change their gender, whether it's surgery or drugs, if you're going to pay them, if you're going to entice them to go through that process, when they have complications or when they want to change back, you are on the hook to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, people oppose that bill. It's one of the, like, how can you be against that? I mean, again, I'm sure folks have the reasons, but yes, there are definitely issues like that. Immigration. Now, there's a lot of stories out there that we're seeing, but fundamentally, almost everybody in America agrees that criminals ought to be deported. The folks right here illegally should not be here. And so that's another one of those issues where most voters are with us.
Yes. Well, that's Texas Senator Brian Hughes. Brian, thank you for being my guest today. Very great conversation. And God bless you, my brother. I appreciate your strong stand for the Lord Jesus. And may God just continue to give you wisdom and strength. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.